The richness of God's blessing. There's nothing like it. Do you enjoy your walk with God? We talked about the greatness of God the other night, and this great God has everything. All fullness is in Him. I think we get the wrong idea of God many times. We have the idea that God is trying to take things from us. He wants things from us. He's going to get things from us. And we've got to bring things to Him. But nothing is brought to Him and given to Him that isn't multiplied and poured back into the giver. God is not in the business of detracting from life. He's in the business of building life. He's not in the business of taking away from life. He's in the business of adding to life. He is the source of life. And He delights to fill our lives with His life. Great God. Great God and a good God. Now my Alzheimer's is kicking in. You've got to help me this morning. Do you know there are two signs of Alzheimer's? First one is you begin to forget. That is, you cannot remember things that you want to remember. The second one is I forgot. God is uniquely uncreated. Everything exists by His will, His pleasure, and by His word. God is uniquely uncreated. None like Him. Everything else is finite. Everything else is the product of His creative activity. He's Lord of all, creator of all, designer of all. And He gives to all its life. God is uniquely infinite. Infinite in time. He's eternal. Infinite in space. He's immense. Infinite in power. He's omnipotent. He's infinite in wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. He's omniscient. Great, 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 infinite God, measureless. There isn't a need that He cannot fill by the word of His mouth. God's uniquely triune. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, get to know Him. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. Take time in your life. Take time every day out of your life to have a little time alone with Him. Get to know Him. He's the God that fills life to overflowing. Again, I want to repeat to you that if you'll make the right decisions in the earlier stages of life, your life will get richer and fuller and richer and fuller as the days go on. And when you become my age, it gets to where you don't know what you're going to do to contain the goodness of God anymore. God is good. Make the right decisions up front. And then God is uniquely holy. God's holiness is His absolute, infinite integrity. He never lies. He never disappoints. He never falls short. He never makes mistakes. He is totally, I love this, He is totally predictable. Totally predictable. And He always acts in accord with His word. God is a great God. And when we think of this great, uncreated, infinite, triune, holy God, we think of this universe that He created, that He spoke one day by the word of His mouth in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. God said, "Let there be light." And the entire universe was set ablaze in light in 1 second of time by the word of God. And this great God filled this firmament. That's what the Bible calls it, a firmament. This great expanse with over a billion galaxies of which we know now, each having over a billion stars. And this great God fills heaven and earth, and the heavens are his throne, and the earth is his footstool. Now my question is this. Why in the world would he be interested in me? And would he be willing to share with me the thoughts of his heart and mind? Would he be willing to let me in on some of the secrets of what he has put together in this marvelous creation? Would this God take time to talk to me? Would he communicate with me? And though he's infinite and I'm finite, could he give me some way to see who he is and to know who he is? And beyond that, is it possible that I could have with him a personal relationship? Ooh, think about that. Sons of God. Daughters of the living God. Think about that. Children of God, birthed ones, born ones of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Think of that. This great, uniquely uncreated, uniquely infinite, uniquely triune, uniquely holy God comes to me and he walks with me. And he talks with me, and he tells me, I am his own. Get it? And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. A great God. And so we address the subject, the greatness of God, and today we want to look at the greatness of the Word of God. Will you please find two texts in your Bibles? Two texts of Scripture, please. Will you turn, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And Hebrews, chapter 1. It will help if you can find both of those texts of Scripture before we begin. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and Hebrews, chapter 1. Does God communicate with man? When we speak of the Word of God, we're speaking of communication. We're speaking of God letting us know things that we cannot know apart from his telling us. Revealing these things to us, things that we cannot find with telescopes and microscopes, things that we cannot find with various studies in nature or in humanities, things that cannot be known, questions that cannot be answered. Who am I? What am I? Why am I here? Is there any reason for my particular personal, individual existence? Am I just an accident going somewhere to happen? Am I a part of a mass of living humanity that is making its way down a pathway of history that has no meaning? Where do I find my significance? Who made all of this? Can I know him? We have this only if God decides to talk to us. So in Hebrews chapter 1, and let's begin there, and then we'll go back to John's Gospel in just a moment. In Hebrews chapter 1, these marvelous words. Look at the text of Scripture, please, as I read it. God, who at sundry times, that means different periods of time, and in divers, that is diverse manners. In other words, he did this in a number of different ways, some by dreams, some by visions. Just numbers of different ways, spake. Modern English, spoke. All right, God is talking. God is talking. I like that. because I want to know what he has to say. I want to learn who he is. I want to know who I am. I want to learn what my life is all about, and I don't want to go through life like an accident going somewhere to happen. I want to accomplish something worthwhile if indeed God has something like that for me. I want to know that. I want to know that I'm not going to go through all of the woe and misery and the heartache and the difficulty and the setbacks of life for no reason at all. The first word in the text, God spoke. God talked. God had something to say. I like that. Notice in the times past, his method was speaking through prophets to the fathers. So he's talking and speaking of Old Testament times here. And you're saying that God's method of getting his word to people was through prophets. But in these last days, verse number 2, he has spoken unto us by, and notice the word his in italics, by a son. This means somebody genetically connected to him, somebody bearing his image, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Ah, this is interesting. Very, very interesting. The one by whom he is speaking to us, the one through whom he communicates to us, was the one who personally put this whole thing together. By whom also he made the worlds. So we will see in John's gospel that the one who is the communicator from God and communicates God to us was the originator. And I would assume if he designed the thing and if he spoke it all into existence, he might have some idea what it's all about. And maybe we ought to listen to him. Notice here, he made the worlds, and this means the ages. You have the cosmos. This is the physical, material universe. The stars and planets and orbits and the galaxies going their places and doing their things. And the world with all of nature. That's the framework. That's the skeleton. But here he says, by which he made the aionos, the ages. And what he is saying is that literally, hear me, I love this. It's contrary to the evolutionary philosophy. This entire universe is more than just a cosmos, an arrangement of materials and physical structures. It is a living, breathing, dynamic theater in which the life and the works of God are going forth day by day. Human history has divine significance, and every life in it has divine significance. This one who communicates to us, God, is the one who originated all of this. He's my Savior. Notice in verse number 3. This Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, is the brightness of his glory. That means the effulgence, the outshining of his glory. He's the one that shines to us. He's the one whom we can see, of whom we can know through his word. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image means exact image, exact representation of his person. The word person here meaning character. And upholding, that is bearing, carrying along all things. Now hear this, because we'll get to this if time allows. We're going to talk about the power of God's word in creating what you need in your life on a personal day-by-day level. He upholds all things by the word. This is the statement This is not the Logos. This is the Rhema. This is the statements that he makes in his day-by-day maintenance of his creation. What a God. He doesn't just set it in motion. He upholds it. He maintains it. He carries it along. And may I suggest to you that if he carries this universe along, this world along with all of its functions and all that goes on, didn't Jesus say if he sees the sparrow fall, he knows about you? Bearing along, speaking the word that's necessary to create in our lives what we need. This is amazing to me. But if this did not take place, please explain to me why you are where you are in life today and you're not dead and gone. He's the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. He upholds, he bears, carries along all things by the word of his power. Now we go to John's Gospel, chapter 1. And again, let me do a little paraphrasing here, if I might. John 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. When the beginning began, the Word, the Logos, the Word, already existed. And the Logos was with God, face to face with God. The two as members of this unique Trinity. We're looking at each other, sharing with each other, working together in a perfect harmony with each other. The Word was with God. And the Word was God, literally deity was the Word. Look down now in verse number 14, if you will, please. The Word was made flesh and dwelt. And this is the word to tent, a temporary dwelling, and tented among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Look this way a moment, if you will, please. We have a great infinite God, a uniquely infinite God. And we have finite man. This tells us that the Word, the infinite God, became finite. The infinite and the eternal entered into human history in a finite way, uniquely being begotten of a virgin, being birthed into humanity through the Virgin Mary. The infinite becoming finite, living among us where we could see him, view him, but you say, I've never seen him. The apostles did. And that's why John, beginning in 1 John chapter 1, says what we've seen, what we've heard, what we have observed by process of careful observation over a long period of time, what we've handled, what we've heard, what we have experienced, we write unto you. And though we have not seen him with the physical eye, we can look at him through the eyes of the apostles, through an inspired writing called the Scriptures. Notice again verse number 14, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Glory is of the only, and that would be the uniquely begotten of the Father, full of two things, full of grace and truth. When God comes to communicate to us, what does he offer us? This again is amazing. The root meaning of the word grace is favor. I know it's undeserved favor. But we put the emphasis on the undeserved. The word itself, the emphasis is on the favor. Notice the word full. Full. Filled. Overflowing. With favor. Amazing. God communicating to me. It should have been a communication of condemnation, but God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Full of favor. Notice the next word. Full of grace and what? What's the next word? What is it? Look at your Bibles. Full of grace and truth. And truth. We're living in a strange age. Maybe people aren't strange in South Carolina, but they sure are in California. We are living in a strange age. If you listen to the news media, and by the way, I would suggest if you do that, you have a half hour Bible reading time afterwards so you can recover your emotional stability. Faith is the realm of the unseen and the imaginary. Science is the real world. This is where we deal with facts. Faith deals with fiction. And the real world is this world of science over here. I want to suggest to you that the one that made all of this knows a whole lot more about reality than the people that are trying to figure it out through microscopes and telescopes and these other things. And he really lived. The word truth here, we can substitute the word reality, favor and reality. And the real world is what God has made it to be. And the real world will come out where God is going to make it come out. Evolution is in charge of nothing and God is in charge of everything. Verse 16, of his fullness. Underline that word fullness. Please, please, please. All the attitudes of many that look at God, they don't know God. They're like this guy that got the one talent and he went and buried it and hid it in the ground. I knew you. You were a hard Lord. You gathered where you didn't, so and so on. I want to tell you, God is an enriching God. He's a filling God. Listen, it is sin that empties your life and it's God that fills it back up again. Of his fullness have we all received. And favor, grace, favor upon favor, for the law was given by Moses. But favor and reality came through Jesus Christ. Nobody, verse 18, has seen God at any time. The uniquely begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He has given a thorough exposition of him. He's thoroughly explained God to us. We have in flesh seen God walking the dusty roads of Galilee. We've heard what God would say because he was God. It was God talking when Jesus preached. It was God touching human life when Jesus touched human life. If you want to know the works of God and what God would do in your life and what God wants for you, and if you want to know what God would say to you under these conditions, read the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Get his heart. Everywhere he went, lives were blessed and helped, saved, rescued, enriched. He's the living word about whom you and I now have in this blessed book, the written word, the scriptures. The power of the word of God is a power to reveal God personally to us. Can I get technical for a moment? Will you allow that? Or do the shades come down? Get those blank stares and looks. Promise me you won't. I don't get a promise yet. Promise me you won't. Do something. Like to see some form of life out there. You know, it's great to be here with you guys today. It really is. And just to be able to share these things. Logos. Have you all heard that word logos? In the beginning was the word. I thought that was strange. Very, very strange. Why would he say in the beginning was this logos? See? But the word logos comes from the word Lego. Now, you all know what Legos are, don't you? Legos are little pieces that you put end to end and connect them together in order to make something that has design. And that's a good illustration of the Greek word lego. The word logos comes from the Greek word lego, and it means to take bits of information, put them side by side until you have a logical statement of information. So what Jesus Christ is the heart and mind of God, the thoughts of God laid side by side by side by side in a logical order to where they communicate literally God to us, the mind, the heart, the person of God. And that's why he's called the Logos. And again, you find in this text, John chapter 1, it goes on to say, all things were made by him. And apart from him, let me paraphrase this, nothing has come into being that has come into being or come into existence. Nothing exists that has come into existence apart from this Logos. So again, the communicator of God is the originator of all things. Listen, you can trust him. He knows what he's talking about. As a pastor, I know that when someone needs advice, number one, they need to go get advice. But number two, you'd better get advice from somebody qualified to give it. Advice is cheap. You can get as much as you want, but there's not much of it that has value until you get it from a person that's eminently qualified to give it. And here the originator is the communicator. And not only is he the communicator, he's the uniquely begotten Son of God. He has the genetics of God himself. He is God walking in the earth. He is the infinite put within finite humanity. Trust him. Trust him. Listen to him. And believe him. And build your life on what he says, no matter what it looks like. Ah, the greatness of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm assuming at this point in time that almost all of you have memorized this. It's a key text of Scripture, and anyone that takes a Bible doctrines course memorizes this verse. But I love this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, we've talked about the living Word, Jesus Christ. Now, we are going to talk about the record that we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The revelation by the Apostle Paul, who by revelation knew and met Jesus Christ personally. The epistles. The word Scripture there, if you'll notice, has the word script in it. Scripture. Script is writing. So when he says here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, he is saying all the writings, every writing, literally, is God-breathed. This book is amazing. All the writing, every part in the part and in the whole, is God-breathed, inspired. I don't know if you've seen anybody die yet. But when they die, we say they expire. They expire. Expire means to breathe. And if you're with someone when they die, the last moment, there's a... And you can almost, you can't see it, it's invisible, but you can just sense that they are leaving their body, they're moving out. They expire. But this is the word breathe in. Inspire, if you please. By the way, did you hear about the fellas that played a little trick and took the sign off of the barber shop and put it on the undertaker's office? Said, come in, you're next. That's encouraging. But you remember when God created Adam? He took dust, the dust of the ground, and he formed and he molded it and made it according to a design. And there on the ground, lying on the ground, I'm assuming lying on the ground, or on the grass, or however God did this, there was a human body. It had bones. It had flesh. It had a heart. It had blood. Eyes, ears, nose. A complete body, but no life. So to make it a little graphic, we'll say that God kneeled down beside him and breathed in, inspired, breathed into his nostrils God's breath of life. Adam did not have life apart from God. You and I do not have any life apart from God. Huh? And God breathed into his nostrils, inspired, breathed in to his nostrils his breath of life. And man became a living soul, a living being. And as the apostles wrote the New Testament scriptures, the Spirit of God was present there and breathing into their writings the very breath of God. And that's why this book has enormous power. Enormous power. Now, let me encourage you. Oh, how we need encouragement. If I were to ask you how many of you this morning at breakfast were shouting hallelujah, I mean, you had the greatest breakfast in your life. I mean, the food just sent you into ecstasy. You almost went into orbit and had a charismatic fit over eating breakfast. How many of you had that experience at breakfast this morning? How many of you would live very long if you didn't do that kind of thing anyway? May I tell you this? Years ago, I started reading 15 chapters of Scripture every day. It may kill your schedule, so don't imitate somebody else. I'm just telling you what happened to me. And I managed to do that probably 5 days a week. And if I don't get to do it, that's fine. I come back to it the next day. But may I say, sometimes I fall asleep. Sometimes my mind is just going all over the universe while I'm reading. It's very rare that I have ecstasy. Usually I get some warmth and blessing out of it, but sometimes I just come up cold. It's like breakfast. Once in a while you get a meal that really, really a breakfast that, I mean, it really does its thing to you and for you. But it is the aggregate of eating nourishing food over years, if you do it right, that gives you strength and the ability to develop in your life and to mature physically and to carry on physically. You read the Word of God and don't think you're backslidden and something is wrong if every experience of reading the Bible is not glory, hallelujah. But I want to tell you, after having done that for 30 or 40 years now, I just cannot express to you the richness that is brought to my life. I can't express it in words. I have not, to my knowledge, and part of it's my personality. I think Dr. Bob will call me on this if I don't tell you this. To me, the glass is not only half full, it's all the way full all the time. Some people, the glass is half empty, you know, some is half full. Some of it's personality, but may I say that I have never in the last 30 years had a time of depression in my life. You say, how is that possible? The only way, let me tell you something. It's not personality. This book has emotionally stabilized me through every event of life, including the big riot we had at our church. There was not a night that I lost sleep. This book says, take courage, be strong. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Be of good courage. I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. This book will see you through everything and anything in life you can. And one of the best prescriptions for somebody going through deep waters, tell them to read five Psalms every day before they go to bed at night. It is better than any tranquilizer they can ever use. This is a powerful book. It is inspired. And it's not inspired because you feel like it and because you have a glory hallelujah fit every time you read it. It is found in its impact because it is the Word of the living God. You cannot ingest the truth of this book day after day after day without it having a transforming power in your life. Now, if you will, let's go to Hebrews and chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I love this, especially I love it in the Greek text. Hebrews 4, verse number 12. Let me read this out of my Greek text. Can I do that? And you follow along in your English, okay? Follow along in your Bible so you can put the pieces in place. Please do that. For alive, literally living. That's the first word in the Greek text. The word quick there. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say that the automobile has divided the human race between the quick and the dead. Well, it's not that kind of quick. The quick is that very alive nerve ending underneath your thumbnail or fingernail. When you push it, it's the quick. It's the lively part. It's the living part. Living is the Word of God. It has in it divine life. Inspired. Living is the Word of God. It's alive. And it's alive whether you think it is or not. It's alive whether you feel it is or not. And we'll never forget sitting down with a man. He said, I'm an atheist. I don't believe the Bible. I said, that's fine. Let me show you what it says. Next text. I don't believe the Bible. I said, that doesn't matter to me. I just want to tell you what it says. And it did its work. Living is the Word of God. I don't care how you felt after you read it this morning. It has life. And it's going to change your life. Living is the Word of God. Notice the next word. Powerful. Powerful. That's the word energeto. Energeto. Now, what's the English word? Help me. What's the English word for energeto? Is energy. Full of energy. Energized. Living is the Word of God. And energized. This is a result of inspiration. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a penetrating thing. It goes where we need it to go. You know what amazes me as a Christian? I've been saved now probably, close to over 60 years I've been a Christian now. And what never ceases to amaze me is all the sins in my life everybody else knows about and I haven't figured them out yet. And if you really want to be humiliated, it's all the sins that God knows about that I haven't figured out. We need God's help to find out what's wrong in our life, even if we don't think it's wrong. And this book has the power to go places that other people cannot go and do things that other people cannot do. It penetrates to the dividing point of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner. It's skilled in judging. That's what the word discerner means. It is skilled in judging of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I love that next verse. Neither is there any creature, any of us, that is not openly revealed, manifest in His sight. All things are naked, literally laid bare and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. I thank God He knows everything about me and that He ignores nothing in me. That really helps me to know that. I can't know it all, but He knows it all. And I can tell Him to fix it all up. Everything that He needs to fix up in me. So we have this powerful Word of God. It's powerful in presenting propositional truth. And the Scripture cannot be broken. The statements of Scripture. Amazing and marvelous. Solomon gave this testimony. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised. Oh, the integrity of the Word of God. Listen, a God of integrity would obviously have a word characterized by integrity, a message, a communication. And the Word of God has the integrity of its author. Go to Hebrews 11, verse number 3, please. Let's land here for just a moment or two. Hebrews 11, and verse number 3. Hebrews 11 and verse number 3. This verse is very precious to me. Through faith, we understand. This word understand means we grasp or comprehend with our minds that the worlds, that's the ages, the aeons, that's the time framework in which I live, the world at this period of time in which I live, the place in this period of time in which I live, what God is doing in this particular day and age, which He has never done before in history and will never do again or repeat in history. This age was framed, it was designed, it was outfitted, it was thoroughly equipped by the utterance. This is the rhema of God, by God specifically presiding over it. So that the things which we see, the things which God does in our lives, were not made out of those things which do appear. This is amazing, because the Word of God has creative power. Things which have appearance or are visual were not brought into being through what we are seeing. Can I tell you that through 50 years of ministry now, at least church ministry, time and time and time again, we've had to face, and I've had to face, situations where there was no visible answer. There was no visible resource. None. When we moved to San Francisco, all of my friends thought I was crazy. Taking 4 children, going to that place where the housing is so expensive you can't buy into it. To a dead church ready to be buried. God still raises the dead. God still provides. And year after year, month after month, with no visible resources, no strength, no wisdom, lacking everything we needed. Let me give you a little gem, if I might. The outcome of our lives, the outcome of our circumstances, will not be determined by the circumstances in which we live. But it will be determined by what God decides to do with them. And that's our way out. Always faithful. God has honor. Those who believe in Him will not be literally shamed. Now, ashamed means I do something that causes me embarrassment. It comes from within. Shamed means somebody else does something that embarrasses me. And those who believe on Him will not be shamed. They will not be put to shame. Not once has my boasting in God ever come short. And I don't do this prophesying stuff from the pulpit. Don't put it in that context. Please. The Word, the utterance, the frame of God here, hear me, not only governs, it creates the final outcome of everything. And when we walk with God and we order our lives according to His Word, what Jesus said is so true. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, every utterance that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And God is looking down this uniquely uncreated, this uniquely infinite, this uniquely triune, this uniquely holy God who has absolute infinite integrity, who cannot fail me, who has to be everything He says He is, or He loses His integrity. This God, event after event, day after day, is personally taking charge of the outcome of every issue in which I'm trusting Him. That's amazing. It's wonderful. And I could become Pentecostal very easily right now. You live this way for 50 years, dear people. It does something to you. It really does. The promises of God are God's creative word. The prophecies in the Bible are His predictive word. God literally creates history in advance by the word of His mouth. The words that He gave to the prophets. He told Jeremiah, you're going to be a prophet to the nations, and you are going to pull down kingdoms. You're going to raise up kingdoms. Jeremiah didn't have that power, but the word that God spoke through him was the means by which God pulled down kingdoms, raised up kingdoms. God's prophetic word is creative. God creates history in His predictive prophetic word. He creates it in advance. That's why you and I preach the book of Revelation and we say we know for certain what will happen, because what God has said is history in advance, the creative power of the Word of God. And as a believing child of God, if you rightly understand the promises now, the promises of God rightly understood and applied to your life, hear me now, they are God's creative word to you. They will create the outcome of what God is going to do in your life. You need to connect with them by faith. The power of God's Word. Psalm 19. God's Word is described as perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, more desirable than gold, sweeter than honey. And this is what it imparts to us. This is what it does to us. Boy, do we need this. It imparts to us restoration, wisdom, rejoicing, enlightenment, permanency, righteousness, wealth, sweetness, warning, reward, and exposure of sin. God's powerful word. The greatness of God's wonderful word. Time does not permit. I wish that we could get into a whole section here on the law of God. And the word law is used to characterize God's revelation in general. The law of God is called because it governs the outcome of everything. Governs the outcome of everything. You can know the outcome. It's sure. It's predictable. Love God's Word. Read it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Don't get hung over some testimonies you hear of the great times some people are having their devotions. Just don't do it. Don't compare yourself with other students or your teachers or someone like myself. We're not the measure. You just be faithful, like you're eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Just be faithfully taking this book into your heart and mind. And it will utterly, powerfully transform you. It will bring you into victory in those areas where you're struggling. It will give you the insights you need to know. It will impart wisdom. It's everything you need. Love this book. Make it a part of your life. God bless you.